when I started thinking about estate planning, I wasn't thinking so much in numbers of what I want for retirement, but I was thinking about my nieces, my nephew, God forbid I go before my parents, what would they have? My sister, my brother-in-law. So I was thinking about all of those things. Yeah. I just want to be so wealthy and just put it in an account where I could just make as much money as possible so I don't have to feel limited. I just wanted to make sure that I had things in place that could give me a sense of freedom instead of a sense of anxiety about what I had or didn't have.
This is the Harmonious Wealth Podcast, where we're breaking online business owners free from chasing every next revenue milestone and instead prioritizing lifestyle and legacy goals so you can finally have the personal wealth to show for your business success. I'm your host, Ayanna Vaughn, fractional CFO and bookkeeper, here to guide you. Now let's start building your financial legacy. Welcome to another episode of Harmonious Wealth. My name is Ayanna Vaughn, and I have an incredibly special guest, none other than Maya Elias. She is the messaging queen. She helps women of faith master their message so that they can monetize their expertise. Thank you so much for coming on, Maya.
Thank you for having me, Ayanna. I'm excited.
So yes, if anyone lives under a rock and doesn't know about you, tell the people a little bit about yourself.
First of all, I'm going to describe myself as a client of Lovely Financials for the past, 7 years? And you've been in business for 8 years, so pretty much since your beginning. And it's such a pleasure to talk to you and not talk about money right now. Do you remember the first few years I hated talking to you because it meant we had to dissect the money? I'm so grateful. But professionally, I am a business coach, a brand strategist, and the CEO of Built to Impact, which is a coaching company that helps women of faith package up their expertise and build a six-figure business as efficiently as possible. So I'm really excited to be here.
Thank you so much for coming on and gracing the people. So we're going to talk about something a little bit different, Maya was saying, not about the money, but about a money story that I think all of us can really learn from, because I like to think as a first generation entrepreneur, you're really vouching for 3 generations in your family, like the people behind you, your parents, yourself, and then the future generations, like the children coming up. What I do love about you, Maya, is that you came equipped with not having a lot of negative money mindset. There was a little bit of avoidance with the numbers, like looking at it, but overall, you were really clear on where you wanted your business to go and grow, and then also being comfortable with your numbers so that you can empower yourself to create the business that you have for yourself and the wealth that you have for yourself. And a story that I want us to talk about is how you created a legacy plan for your family. How did that go for you?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So my family and I, we got our estate planning done. I paid for mine and then I paid for my parents. And it was something that my mom was always like down for, but I think my dad was just an African father who just wants to take things into his own hands and thinks that he knows everything. And it's writing down what you want to leave behind on a napkin is not a will. And you know what I mean? Like, bro, come on. And even with a will, you still have to go through the probate process and all of that. And so when I had talked to an estate planning lawyer, she was like, here's what it looks like if we can set up your estate. Typically, what I like to do in order to convince either one of my parents to do something or to make them feel more comfortable is I do it for myself first, or I say, this is what I'm doing. And I think that's with almost everything that we do in life. If I can normalize it in one area and they see that it's normal and not harmful, then it makes them feel safe to do it. Once they knew I signed up for myself, my dad, actually, I had him on the call with me with my estate planning lawyer when we went over all of the things in my estate plan, stuff that like my health directives, like who has access to my health. Mm-hmm. And if you were brain dead, but you were pregnant, what would you have to do? And so he got to see the intricacies of what it really looks like to plan your life and do it in a way that is like really meaningful. So I'm really glad that he was able to see that. And then we all got it done.
That's beautiful, because it's rarely talked about overall, especially as entrepreneurs and especially as Black women of color entrepreneurs, because we don't talk about that. We don't talk about death. Why would we talk about that, right?
Yeah.
But if we plan for the future and just switch the language, like how you were saying, it's really solidifying your legacy for the future. And how does your family benefit from what you've worked so hard to do in your business.
Yeah. And I think it's so interesting, you know, the things that we, if you create your estate plan, it doesn't mean you're going to die any sooner. But
exactly.
It doesn't, right? Ensure specific things. If you are a control person, this is the perfect thing for you to do, because you actually get to now, not only do you get to control things while you're alive, but you get to control things once you pass on. So I love it. And I heard this pastor years ago. I don't even remember who it was, if I heard it online, if I heard it in person. It might have been Miles Monroe, but he said, 1 in 1 people die. And it was just
right
clear. And it was like, I'm going to die anyway. I might as well figure out what I want to happen once I'm gone. So death ain't nothing to be afraid of. At least we know who we're going to.
Exactly. And once you mentioned that, I was thinking of the book of Ecclesiastes in the Bible, and King Solomon was talking about, like, all this is worthless. When you make your riches, it goes to someone else. But if you have an estate plan,
right?
If you have an estate plan, you're able to, like, control where that goes.
Right. Exactly. So it's like, oh, well, it's kind of sort of worthless unless.
Right. Unless it's an estate plan.
Right. Exactly.
Yes. And speaking of family, how did you feel about money growing up? How was, like, money discussed in your family as you were coming?
Honestly, it wasn't discussed that much, but I think it wasn't discussed in a way that it was a benefit to me. Like, I think when I have kids, I'll probably want to talk to them more about money. But I think the beauty is we didn't have to talk about money in terms of lack, because it seemed like we always had it. I've never really seen my parents struggle. The only money conversation I can ever remember is I wanted to go to the movies with my friends in, like, middle school or high school, and my parents didn't give me, like, the $10 to go. And I was so pissed off, because you know how dramatic 14 and 16 year olds are. And I'm like, are we poor? Do we not have to do offended. And I can understand why. Little girl, you got me messed up, because the fact that we came to this country to give your raggedy behind a good life, and you could ask us if we're poor. Ma'am, we live in a six-figure house where you don't pay any bills. You don't have to worry about food. You have the clothes that you need. You have your own. Like, what do you mean, are we poor? That was the only time money was ever mentioned, and I ain't even try it ever again.
That is so funny. Of course, we all experience, like, a portion of that. Don't count my pockets. You'll get what you need. Do you ask for anything? Do you need for anything? No. Hush your mouth.
Right.
And I think that goes into an adulthood, as you've been told to hush, stay in a child's place. How do you really understand how to navigate money as an adult? Because they weren't taught that. We weren't taught that as much. And they dang sure don't teach that in school. How has your money mindset shifted into adulthood as you were growing up?
I mean, I think it has shifted a lot. I think there were sparingly money conversations, like, now that it's starting to come to me a little bit. I remember being really young, like 6 years old, and this little kid being like, do you know that $100 isn't a lot of money? And I was like, what, really? And it was crazy when you think $100 means rich, which is mind blowing, because $100,000 is barely cutting it these days, the way inflation is set up. But so just learning about money from, like, random places. But I do remember one time in high school, I think maybe I was considering, like, college or something like that. And I remember my dad saying something like $23 to $25 an hour was not a lot of money. And in my mind, I was making maybe $8 an hour. And to me, like, I was on the high end of being in high school. And it's just so interesting, our relation to how we perceive money. Like, 14-year-old Maya making $8 an hour. You can't tell me nothing. That's a lot. Exactly. I remember seeing this meme one time that was like, it don't take no hour to make no $12. Like, I'm going to quit. Like, no, that's so real. That's wild. A whole 60-year-old to create 12 to make $12.
Right. We thought we were living back then too in high school.
Right. And I'm like, don't let it have been 16-year-old Maya making $12 an hour. But I remember when my dad said that, and I'm like, dang, how much is this guy making? $23 isn't a lot of money. And he was making a comparison of, when you get a degree, you'll make more money or whatever. I think I had a high standard of what I wanted to make based on how I saw my parents living and how my dad working.
I love that. I love that you had, like, you had positive role models growing up, and that turned into you having more secure relationship with money.
Yeah.
I like to relate like our relationship with money to how we show up in relationships. Mm-hmm. And if you're anything like me, my attachment style was very disorganized and it showed up in how I managed my money in my 20s, right? Because it was give or take. I knew it, but then I took it away. Yeah. And that's how I showed up. And having a secure attachment style allows you to be able to grow into wealth and from your business and for your personal life as well.
Yeah, that is so good. I feel like I referenced that a little bit too at Impact Weekend. Here's how to be secure with your money. I love it.
Right,
I
right.
For Renee to be clingy to me.
Right.
I want Renee to be clinging on to me. So that's how I want money to be.
Exactly. So when you started your business, did you have a legacy goal or what comes to mind when it comes to like legacy planning?
When I started my business, I didn't really have any goals. I thought that it was cool that people were willing to pay me to do what I was already doing for fun and for free. And then I think it probably wasn't until maybe 4 to 5 years into my business when I'm like, oh, I want to have a six-figure business and figure out what does that even look like? Okay, $8,333. How am I going to make that money? And then it wasn't until years after that I'm like, I really made up in my mind, no way I would have a seven-figure business. I'm like, how on earth am I going to make $83,333? Like, and so I think it's like, before we can even get to legacy, for me at least, there's different iterations and milestones that we have to see of what's possible for us. Because to me, when I do think about legacy, I think we have to have created something worth leaving behind, right? If I don't have any kids, I don't own anything, I don't really have assets outside of my little Wachovia account back then turned Wells Fargo account. Unless we can actually build assets that we're genuinely proud of, typically, we're not really thinking legacy.
No, that's absolutely true. Where was the point in your business where you're like, okay, let me get really clear on where I want my life to be as I got older? Because I know you like to work hard, live soft.
Yeah.
But you want that future for yourself, right?
Yeah.
What was that time where you're like, okay, I made that seven figures in business, or even before you started making seven figures in business, thinking about your future self?
I honestly think it was when I had my highest revenue year and my most profitable year, which were the same year in 2021, because it was also the most challenging year. And I think stuff gets real clear when you go through challenging times, right? And so I think maybe for other people, it was down to my last dollar and I really needed to decide. It was like, no, I had all of the money and I was still really stressed out and I was still really angry and I was still really hurt by a lot of the things that were going on in business. And it was at that moment I realized I might not want to do this-ish forever. And I remember you had posted a clip about entrepreneurs usually don't think about retirement because they think they want to do it forever. This is my passion. It's my calling. And I saw somebody post the other day, in 20 years, will you still be doing the same thing? And I think she was trying to get a gauge of who really loves what they're doing. I'm like, let me tell you who you ain't gonna see on anybody's webinar in 20 years. Exactly. It ain't gonna be me, okay? And so I think going through that challenging season, it required me to be much more intentional about, yes, you have proven to yourself that you can make a lot of money in your business. Now what? And that is when I started thinking about the concept of profitable living and having your most profitable year in terms of not just measuring profit in monetary terms, but measuring profit in peace and fulfillment and joy and health. Since then, I've been so much more intentional about, is this bringing me peace? Is it creating impact? Is it bringing joy? Because if it's only bringing in money, then it's actually costing me too much.
I love that. As you were going through those hard times and you were thinking, okay, in 20 years, I will not be on anyone's webinar, no one's social media, nothing, I'll be laid up. Was there a figure in which like you're like, okay, if I were to retire or in 20 years have net worth of X, Y, and Z, this is what I want to do? What was that thought process?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I didn't have a clear concept of what retirement looked like. I started to understand it a little bit more. But then I remember also during that season, or even I think honestly previously, I had asked myself, if I didn't work for 6 weeks and I didn't make any more money in my business and things just stayed how they were, and I just went on a 6-week vacation, would my business be able to survive? And I remember I was actually having this conversation with George, who you know, I had tweeted it and then we had talked about it in person. And we deemed it like our freedom number. We created this concept called like forecaster freedom, right? If you wanted a 6-week vacation, what would that need to look like in your bank account where it's not affecting your business? You're still able to pay your team, all of that. And so I didn't know exactly what that number was. I don't even think I had a concept then of how to calculate it. But I knew I wanted to figure out how can I create as much freedom as possible in my business without jeopardizing my business or my bank.
I love that. When it comes to creating a legacy goal, of course, we have to protect it. How long did it take you to know, okay, let me create a plan for my death. Let me create a plan so that it could impact my family. What was that like? Okay, now I know what I want for retirement, or at least have an idea of what I want it to look like. Now I want to protect what I have had and what I've grown.
Yeah. I mean, I think when I started thinking about estate planning, I wasn't thinking so much in numbers of what I want for retirement, but I was thinking about my nieces, my nephew, God forbid I go before my parents, what would they have? My sister, my brother-in-law. So I was thinking about all of those things. And even when it came to the retirement number, I'm like, can I even trust this number? Because the way inflation is set up, this could really like screw me. We had the pandemic, then we're in a time where inflation and everything is so expensive. And so I wanted to just make sure that I had more than enough. I didn't want it to be like, okay, I have this set number and then I'm living off of this budget, which you and I are working on the budgeting. Yeah. I just want to be so wealthy and just put it in an account where I could just make as much money as possible so I don't have to feel limited. And I know the purpose of budgeting and planning, especially for retirement, is so you don't have to live with super strict limits. But I just wanted to make sure that I had things in place that could give me a sense of freedom instead of a sense of anxiety about what I had or didn't have.
This makes me think of my philosophy of profit focus. You increasing your profit for a particular purpose in a season. So I like to say the first one is to at least have at least enough cash flow to maintain operations. Mm-hmm. And then you're able to pay off debt if you have that, pay yourself more, get into retirement, all those things. And you've built that your business to a point where you're at level 5 where like, okay, now I can invest my money because I've accumulated this wealth, this business, and maintain profits, or really had the foresight to retain profits so that you have healthy cash on hand. How did you get into making your money make money for you because your business was like the number one vehicle for wealth in your life?
I think there were two factors that had me starting to think about it. I had lunch with somebody here in Atlanta. She plays like a mentor figure to a lot of people. And so she and I were having a conversation. She's like, how are things going in business, all of that? And then she asked me about retirement. And I was like, I actually don't even really know how retirement works. I don't know about investing. And I didn't have a concept of compound interest. I didn't know anything about retirement accounts. I hadn't worked in corporate. I just had no idea how it worked. And so she explained it. You put your money in an investment account and then you accrue interest. And then eventually you want to be able to live off of that interest. And I'm like, oh, wow, I'm mind blown at how this concept works. And so once I understood that, I'm like, clearly I need to start getting my money in some investment accounts. But then I was intimidated because I'm like, what brokerage do I go with? And am I like a big deal enough to be able to have this? And you just think you have to look a certain way or be a certain thing to do things. And no, girl, you just log on and you put money in the account.
Right.
Ended up downloading the Stash app because it just felt far less intimidating. Oh, if you don't have enough money to buy a whole stock, you can get partial stock. And I'm like, that seems more my jam. I don't know if I could really do it. And so I remember just auto investing like $25 a week into 4 to 5 different companies. And it just kept growing. I looked at it the other day. It's at 50,000. I was like, look at God.
Okay.
Right? And I was just so proud to just see it grow because I started it in 2018 or 2019 and just left it, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I honestly don't really know what to do with it besides let it keep growing. And I continue to self-fund. I think I spend $85 a week, like investing and just seeing like planting that small seed can produce so much fruit. And so I just love it.
I'm glad you said planting that small seed because we have a lot of misconception of if you're going to start investing or start your retirement account, you have to max out immediately. But it's if you don't miss $100 a month, start there. If you could just put a little by little, the compound interest will one, you could see it grow, but then also you can grow from there. Exactly. So Let's stop this right now. If you're thinking, I need to max out everything, I need to have thousands of dollars at once, at least getting in the habit of putting something towards your future will help you so much, and especially alleviate some of that nervousness of thinking, okay, what happens if I need it? Or what happens just being scared to do it at first?
I wasn't even putting in enough where it's, if I had an emergency, it would make sense to go get that money. Well, girl, you better have a legit emergency fund, because this little $85 a week, it ain't gonna cover your tires, baby girl. Okay, so put in money that you're not going to miss, but be intentional about having a schedule with investing.
And that goes into the point of what I love to talk about, paying yourself and your business so that you're not borrowing money here and there. You're like paying yourself a full salary so that you can not only survive, but thrive.
Yeah.
When it comes to paying yourself from your business, how has that been for you these past? Of course, it changed, right? And you're laughing preemptively because... Right. We know
things have changed a little bit. Okay. I did not have a conversation with you before getting this high rise. And so now we're having a conversation about what I'm paying with.
You're so silly.
I like to keep it real, right? Because once you learn money mindset and all that, you know all of the answers and you learn as you go, okay? First, I would like always underpay myself, and you guys would be like, you have to pay yourself enough or else you're going to get taxed. What's the term where all y'all be yelling at us? Like, reasonable pay or whatever. It is, it's reasonable for me, okay?
What she's talking about is she has an LLC taxed as an S corp, so she is an employee of her company. So when we nag her about reasonable compensation, if you're a CEO of your company and you're like the main marketing person, you're not going to be paying yourself $30,000 a year, okay? No, ma'am. Okay. However, having an S corp is a great way to leverage the tax code, because you can really have a strategy of, okay, if I pay myself what I need and do a draw, like a distribution quarterly of a little bit extra for cash, then I can dictate how much I pay in taxes, as long as it's quote unquote reasonable. And how we determine that is for our clients, there's like a survey that we do based on everything that you do in your business, how many hours you work in your business, what is your skill set, how would you rate your skill set? And then it computes like a number for reasonable compensation. And we can have that on our backhand, like, girl, why did you pay yourself this? Because it said so, okay?
We've had some times where I've had to learn of like paying myself. I think the beauty is I've had enough money in my company to be able to pay myself. Many times I underpaid myself in terms of it wasn't reasonable pay. Other times I underpaid myself in terms of looking at your personal expenses, it doesn't match what your salary is. So I think the beauty is that the money in the business is there. So we just thank God for that. And we just gonna start there.
Exactly. As we were saying, you paying yourself from your business and navigating that to now being able to contribute to your retirement, your future self, and creating that estate plan. Can you tell us a little bit about what your estate plan entails so that if anyone's going in there, I don't know what that means, I don't know what I would add, but from a consumer standpoint, because it's one thing to hear about it from an attorney because it's okay, here's this, that, and a third, but from your experience, how it feels to have an estate plan, or what are some things that you would recommend someone have in it that they probably didn't consider?
I will share like literally what is inside of it, because I knew that I got the estate plan to protect whatever assets that I have. Mm-hmm. Right now, the first thing that I would look into is, do you know who are the beneficiaries for all of your accounts? When I purchased my home, I got a life insurance plan and they asked me who's the beneficiary if you pass. And that is what started to get me thinking like, oh, wait, like something has to go to somebody. And so knowing, okay, my house will go to my oldest niece and she's not around, then it'll go to my youngest niece. And I wouldn't have more control of that, right? And the estate plan allows you to say, okay, if you pass before she's the age of 18, then who does it go to? Or how do you want money to be released to her or whatever it is? And so there's so many different things inside of an estate plan that you might not even be considering. My estate planning lawyer just asked a lot of really great questions, but looking at it here, so we have a last will and testament, which is essentially just everything that you would have in your will, distributing of, okay, where do I want all of my property to go? Who do I want to have my assets? What do these things look like? And then you can even put like little stipulations. I think I put something like, if my nieces and nephew are on drugs, don't give them more than $1,000 a month or something. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want the money to go towards their drug habit. Put them in wherever the drug people go, rehab.
Right, rehab, okay.
There are little things like that. We have the advanced healthcare directive. Is there anybody that we're allowed to share your health records with? I think I only shared one person, which is my best friend, Christina, and only shared it because she's in the health space. I need some my records that actually know what hemoglobin means. So just like little lips like that.
That's funny. You know what's a funny story? I'm not sure if you know this about me, but in college, I worked at an emergency room as a medical scribe. I learned so much about medical terminology all at once in college.
That's hilarious. Girl, I'm like, how'd you even that thing? Why are you like?
Things that we've done before business are like, oh, that's random. It feels random, but it could be transferable.
It could be helpful, maybe. You might just need to know these random terms one day in the rare disease. Yeah. But just so many different things. And of course, like power of attorney, who actually has access to your accounts. And this is really important. Again, without your estate plan, it's going to go through the courts and people are going to be trying to fight over who has access to what. And you want to just be able to have a level of control over that. And your estate plan isn't just good for if you die. It could be like, God forbid, if you end up in the hospital and you're unable to speak for yourself. I needed to feel a level of security that there would be somebody on my side who would handle these things. And I had listed my sister and my mom. I'm like, they make good decisions. They have kids. They've raised humans. They should make good decisions on my behalf. So yeah, those are some examples of what's in there.
Thank you so much for sharing. Because a lot of us is like, what does that mean from a consumer standpoint, how you experienced it, right? Mm-hmm. So that's good to know. And I want to say you're embodying rich auntie, like literally you are embodying rich auntie, like the definition. Okay. I'm leaving things for my nieces and nephews.
Till my own children get here. And even then I'm like,
wait,
y'all came out. So I actually don't know what to tell you.
It's above me now. It's in the plan. It's above
me. That is so funny.
Oh, goodness.
But you know what actually makes me excited, too, is that I am now officially a trust fund baby. Now that my parents have their estate plan. After I did it, I hit up my sister. I'm like, we are officially trust fund babies. It ain't just your kids.
Right.
It's us, too. I'm really excited about that. I'm like, okay, I get me a little something. I'm like, Dad, leave that for me. Mom, leave that for me. I know y'all are afraid of death, but I am grateful that I can mourn you guys and that I also don't have to argue with anybody about mom's jewelry or the house or anything like that.
Not the jewelry. It's always still my mom's jewelry growing up. So I know.
I'm saying that.
Oh. Yes. And then so them knowing the process that you went through and then them going through it for themselves, how do they feel after it was all done, after the estate plan was done?
I think they felt probably like more empowered. I think my mom felt a sense of relief because I know she had been trying to get my dad to do it. And he's so stubborn. And I think my dad probably felt responsible because that's what African fathers want to feel like. So I just love that for him. I think he had a sense of pride after doing it. So I really love that.
And you mentioned something about your future. But then a lot of things that we don't consider is having insurances or things in the now for yourself and your business to protect you if anything happens. Do you have business insurance?
It's on my things to do list. And I meant to ask you about it because you told me to use. And then, of course, I just didn't do it because it was one of those things that I overthought. Even how you told me to get the high yield savings account years ago. Another friend told me to do it years ago. But we overthink the little things, even when it came to doing the investment account. Like, it literally doesn't matter that much. It's just not that deep. Get the business insurance, get your brokerage account, get the whatever it is, the high yield savings account. It'll matter. Just get it. I'm gonna get it. Because it's $100 a month, I think, that you said.
Right. It's super minimal. And just for context for everyone, you should have insurances in your business and personal. So say for your business, I have an insurance policy. I forget the name, but it covers, if anything happens to me, it covers my overhead as well as finding my replacement as CEO. That way the business is protected if anything happens to me in like any season, right? And then on the personal side, I have disability insurance. So again, if anything happens to me, of course, it's going to impact the business and personal. There's a way for me to get paid a little sum while I can't work, right?
That was so funny because I remember I run a group coaching programs and it's a 5-year investment. And I remember before somebody signed the contract, they were like, what happens if something happens to Maya? Basically, what happens if this lady dies? Okay. And I was like, nobody has ever asked that before. That should have been my time to get the insurance so I could just flex on them. We were covered. Actually. We're covered. Actually, the way my policy is set up. Yeah, that's hilarious.
So let's stop overthinking, everyone. Let's open the thing so that we have protection for both our business and ourselves. Ooh, I have a good one. What is your definition of harmonious wealth?
Harmonious wealth. When I think of harmony, it's something being harmonious. I feel like it's like smooth and there's not turbulence, which I love when it comes to making money, because I'm like, I'm only here for peace. Again, if it costs me my peace, then it costs me too much. So when I think of harmonious wealth, I think of a peaceful, intentional way of building wealth without it causing turbulence in the way you want to live your life.
That's beautiful. I love that.
Hey.
Thank you for sharing.
Yes.
Thank you. And speaking of peace, you have a podcast called Work Hard, Live Soft.
Yeah.
How has that experience been with your podcast as you were making it? Because you're embodying what you practice in your business, right? And you're sharing with others how you got there.
I think it's been so interesting. It's still really fresh and really new. But I think it's a fun outlet to just talk about how I want to live. I didn't want it to be just a business podcast and we're talking about strategy, but more so leaning into that philosophy again of profitable living. Like, how can you ensure you are profitable with your money, but also with your impact and your fulfillment, joy, and peace and all of that? I love talking about how I spend my day to day and how I live life by my values, how I even figure out what my values are, like all of those things. I'm just really grateful to be able to have an outlet to just share my ideas on that.
I love it. And I listened to the first couple episodes. I had to have my little bubble bath. I'm like, this is fitting to listen.
I love that.
Yes, yes, yes. I know we talked about your podcast. How can people get in touch with you after this episode?
Definitely listen to the podcast, workhardlivesoft.com. And I'm always on Instagram sharing my workouts, which it doesn't look like the soft life, but it's the body that I want to have while I'm living soft. So,
okay,
because that is what like the new episode is going to be about. All of the hard work that you have to do in order to live soft, because like we said, live soft is a result of working hard. But anyhow, follow me on Instagram at Maya Elias and just reply to one of my stories. Let's connect.
Yes, 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 yes. Thank you so much for coming on Harmonious Wealth. You gave us so much information and really helping us understand that it's not so hard to set up our future selves. It's not hard to protect ourselves and making that investment. Is there anything else that you want to share with us before we hop off today?
I would say the hardest part about building wealth is just not overthinking the process of it. And I think it's the overthinking and the ego of not wanting to start small that can hold us back from building wealth. So if you can, if your mindset into it's not that hard and I can start small to create something big, you're going to see a lot of success when it comes to your wealth building journey.
Oh, that's a great one. Thank you. Thank you. That's a great nugget.
Thank you so much for having me.
It was so great to have Maya come on to share how her business became the number one wealth generator in her life. What is one aspect of implementing your legacy goal that you've been overthinking? Let me know in the comment section if you're watching the YouTube version. So Maya shared that she had to understand that she most definitely did not want to work in her business forever, which prompted her to get serious about planning for retirement and legacy. It first came with her understanding her financials and her business. Entrepreneurs make million-dollar decisions based on their money story. If you're ready to make life-changing decisions in your business, it's time to create a plan for profit that'll allow you to accomplish, or better yet, create legacy goals. My fractional CFO services help entrepreneurs grow their profit, manage your cash flow so that you can pay yourself well and consistently from your business. Go to lovelyfinancials.com/CFO to get started. If you're a woman growing your business and family, and you want to heal your relationship with money so that you can create personal wealth and create a legacy, subscribe on either YouTube or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. I'm on a mission to help 100 women reach at least 1 million in net worth to create generational wealth and break generational curses. If this aligns with you, I would love for you to be a part of the community. So tune in to more episodes on Harmonious Wealth. Thank you. Hey there, girlfriend. If you're ready to finally have the lifestyle and legacy to show for your business success, I would love for you to click that subscribe button on your favorite podcast app or YouTube. Hey there. If you've been tuning into Harmonious Wealth, you've heard me say it. Revenue generated doesn't matter if you don't have the cash in the bank to show for it. While many coaches can teach you how to make money, when you become a fractional CFO client with us at Lovely Financials, I will help you become a supernatural steward of both your business and personal cash so that you can finally have the personal wealth to show for your business success. We'll start by understanding your lifestyle and legacy goals for you and your family so every dollar you make has a purpose and plan. Then we'll get the full financial outlook of your business and determine exactly what needs to change to increase your profit and have your business be in harmony with your lifestyle and legacy goals. Within 6 months, we'll help you increase your profit margins by 25%. Every month, my team will create the reports you need and guide you through the numbers so you know exactly where you are with meeting your goals. We'll help you pay yourself consistently and become a better steward of your money right now so that you can build wealth for you and your family. Click the link in the show notes to book a call to see exactly how we help you reach your lifestyle and legacy goals.